I want to share a thought with you that I've actually shared with our young people. I've entitled it A Message of Mercy. And at one point, Jesus, to illustrate a point, began to speak to the folks that were around about him, and he began to talk about the mercy of God and the love of God, and he began to illustrate it through some various stories, three stories in particular at this point. One, he began to talk about sweeping a house and finding every lost coin in that house. Another point, he said, a shepherd leaves the 99 and he goes after the one. And through these stories, he was trying to prove a point. He was trying to illustrate a point. And then he began to share a very familiar passage that I think that we're all familiar with. It was a story about a man who had two sons. And the younger son told his father, I want what's coming to me. I want my inheritance. He came to his father and began to desire and demand his portion of the estate. And he said, Dad, even before you die, I want what's coming to me. And so his father took his wealth and began to divide it among his two sons. And the Bible says a few days later that his younger son packed all his belongings and got all his stuff together. And he took a trip off into a far distant land. And there he began to waste all his money on wild living. And as he spent all his money and all his resources and all these things began to run out, he began to grow hungry. And the Bible says at that particular time, a famine came over the land. And as this famine began to sweep over the land, this young man eventually began to starve. And so he got this idea. He said, well, let me ask one of the local farmers if he will hire me to feed his pigs. And the farmer did hire him. And as he began to feed the pigs, he was so hungry, so starved, that he began to desire the pods, the things that they were feeding to the pigs. And so at this particular point, he needed help. He needed somebody to give him something, but there was no one around. There was no one there to give him anything, to feed him anything. And he finally came to his senses. The scripture says, he said to himself, at home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare, and here I am in this particular place, and I am starving. And so he decided to himself that he would go home to his father and say, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Please take me as a hired servant. And the Bible says that he returned home to his father at this particular point. Now, how does this relate to you and I in this present day and age? Did you know that God has a plan for your life? God has a plan for your life. God created you for a purpose. The Gospel of John tells us that he created everything there is. Nothing exists that he did not make. You were created by God for a purpose. You were not a fluke or an accident. God knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb, and he gave you life. Even if you were the result of a rape or some unexpected, unwanted pregnancy, God had a plan for your life. That's why you were not miscarried. That's why you were not aborted. God had a plan for your life. And you may have wondered, why am I here? What am I doing here? Where did I come from? Is this all there is to life? Where am I going when this is all said and done? God has a plan for your life and had a plan from the very beginning. Jeremiah 29 tells us, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. You were given life by God for a divine purpose. But just like this story, you didn't see the value of a life in God or in his house. And now you find yourself feeding the pigs. Like this boy, you set out looking for love, peace, joy, and satisfaction apart from the Heavenly Father's house and from his presence. Folks, I know what this is all about. I was raised a Catholic. I was baptized as a baby, did all my holy sacraments. I did my first Holy Communion, confirmation, all these things that you do in the Catholic Church, raised in the Catholic Church, elementary school, junior high school. Finally, to the point of eight, at the age of 18, I got to a point where I just said, I had enough of this. I'm out of here. Because I would go into church one way and come out the same way. And I remember coming out the church and the priest that would be ministering his homily would walk out and I'd see him on the street drinking, smoking, cursing, just like we were cursing. And I thought to myself, well, forget this. I'm out of here. I mean, it got to a point where I was only going to church on Easter, just Easter and Christmas, just the holidays, and mostly just to check out the girls. Because at the time I was a teenager and my hormones were raging. I'm just being real, keeping it real. So finally, I remember my 18th birthday. I had a friend. I called him over and I said, let's get together and then we'll go partying. We'll go clubbing afterwards. We're going to go dancing. And I remember we went out and bought 151 proof Bacardi and some Coke. And we went up into my room in the attic, which was up in the attic of my parents' house. And we started to drink. And folks, I don't know at what point my friend left, but we didn't go dancing that night. All I remember is waking up in the middle of the night and my legs are wrapped around the toilet. I'm sitting on the floor and my head is buried in the toilet bowl and I'm just throwing up, just upchucking all night and thinking to myself, is this all there is to life? Is this what adulthood is? Is this what freedom is? Is this what I have to look forward to as an adult? And folks, that's not what God had planned for my life. That's not all it. But I remember thinking, I'm out of here. And I got to college after that, and I started bodybuilding, and I thought that would bring satisfaction, and I began to feel good about myself, but and then all the girls and all that stuff, and then but still on the inside, I was so empty. And I would wake up in the morning, I could be hanging out with my friends, laughing, joking, but then I'd be so empty on the inside and think, God, there's God. To be more to life than this. And folks, there was. And so he came and found me and saved me. And here I am today. Hallelujah. Now you may have thought to yourself, or maybe you're thinking to yourself, I want to be this, or I'm going to do that. I'm going to join this cause, or maybe if I join this gang, or pursue this career as a doctor, or maybe in IT, information technology, or if I could just impress these scouts, maybe I might get a scholarship and play D1, Division I, and maybe after that I might go pro. And you leave God's house, you set the church aside. And so you get those new sneakers or that stuff you always wanted, that new girl or that car, but where does that leave you? You squandered and wasted the life you were given, and now you are distant and far from God. Isaiah the prophet put it this way. He said, all of us have strayed away like sheep. We have left God's path to follow our own. And ultimately, folks, this is what sin is. It's to live independently from God or to act contrary to God's law. Isaiah went on to say this, but your iniquities, in other words, the wrong things you've done, the wrong life you're living, have separated you from your God. And your sins have hidden his face from you, only to end up feeding the pigs. A pig was considered unclean and the vilest of animals in the Jewish culture. This young man found himself feeding the lowest things that exist in nature. There are some here today that find themselves feeding the lowest things of human nature. You are feeding a lust or an uncontrolled passion, anger or grudge, violence or rage, bitterness, unforgiveness, some type of filth or bad habit. You're visiting peep shows or porn sites on the internet, or maybe you followed the empty lights time and time again into a Broadway show or a movie theater thinking this would satisfy. Or maybe today you find yourself sticking a needle in your arm. Or you were on a date giving up your virginity to someone who will most like, you will most likely never see again. They made you all these empty promises only to break your heart. I think of all the celebrities whose lives are a mess. They're not happy. All you have to do is pick up some tabloid magazine or People magazine, and all you see is divorce, drugs, alcohol, infidelity, tons of money with fancy cars, big houses, and empty smiles. They go from one relationship to another thinking, maybe this is it. Maybe this will satisfy. Maybe this will scratch that itch. Maybe this will fill that void. While in this particular place, the Bible says that this young boy became so hungry. And some here today are so hungry because that stuff does not satisfy. The scripture says, no one gave him anything. And that's the way the world is. You can try to get counseling, but they can't help you. What you need in this case is spiritual. They can't even help themselves. I think of a young lady who said, throughout my childhood, my older cousins molested me. She said, I was teased as a child, trapped in Catholicism. My first boyfriend, when I was 16 years old, raped me. And I was so ashamed. I used to cry myself to sleep. She said, my heart grew very cold and hard. She said, but I remember at a young age how the Lord used to call me. I remember one night lying in bed after reading my Catholic Bible and praying my rosary, wanting something more. Long before knowing anything about the sinner's prayer or being born again, she said, I lifted my hands and prayed a simple prayer that I was sorry and just wanted life, my life to be led by him. And whatever he wanted to do with my life, it was his. She said, I then went on to college, and my college years were many of the darkest years of my life. She said, a friend brought me to Times Square Church. She said, that Sunday, all my inconsistent battling with the Lord stopped there in my seat. This is where the voice I had heard calling me as a child lived. She said, I ran to the altar with all that raw shame and baggage in tow. I returned to my apartment that afternoon, a new creation. Hallelujah. She said, I mean a new creation, exclamation point. She said, I freaked out my three roommates. The swearing stopped. The drinking stopped. The crass talking stopped. Everything that flowed out my mouth was about the joy of the Lord. I could hear the Lord's voice again, and I could feel his leading and his presence, and I could feel hope. She said, today the Lord has given me back everything the devil took from me and then some. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He came to his senses. He came to his senses. And he went home. Where's home? It's in the presence of the one who created you. The one who loved you even before you were ever formed. He loved you and had a plan for you. Do you know if he wanted to, he could have wiped us out long ago? I was thinking about this past week, and then Pastor shared it this morning again. I couldn't escape that thought. He could have wiped us out a long time ago. He could have started, a new slate. And before creation, he knew everything that was going to take place. He knew we would fall. He knew it all, folks. And yet he still went ahead with the plan to create us, but not only that, the plan to save us. What a deal. What a deal. What a God. What a love. Folks, that's home. That's where home is, in God's presence. Do you know today, your inheritance still awaits you? His father saw him coming from a long distance, this young man. And filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son and embraced him and kissed him. And as the father ran to meet the lost son, so God has come today. Your heavenly father, he's here to meet you. He's here to meet you. Even as you come out of your seat to this altar today, he is here to meet you. His father gave him what he could never possess on his own or been able to obtain in his own strength. He gave him a robe, he gave him a ring, and he gave him new shoes. And what do these things represent to you and I? That robe represents a covering to cover his shame, to take away his sin. It represented forgiveness and right standing with his father. He gave him a ring which represented authority. Authority to walk in victory over life-controlling habits. Authority to access the inheritance that was being left to him by his father. Authority. Hallelujah. But not only that, gave him new shoes. He gave him a new lease on life, a commission. That's what those new shoes represented, a commission, a new lease on life, a purpose, a destiny, a plan. Hallelujah. To do the work of the kingdom, to care for his father's business. New shoes. And afterwards, a celebration broke out in the house. There was a celebration with music and dancing. The party was on. You talk about a party. A party in heaven. That's what the Bible says. When one soul, Luke 15, same chapter, when one soul comes home, the angels in heaven break out in celebration. For you. For you. For me. When we finally come home. When you give complete control to Jesus Christ, inviting him to be Lord of every area of your life, you will discover the answers to life's questions. You will experience the true purpose for which you were created, for which he created you. Some people think Christianity is boring, but that's not what God intended. Religion is dry, dead, and boring. But a relationship with Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord is the greatest privilege and adventure you and I will ever experience. And I can tell you from my life's experience that it's been everything except boring. I've traveled growing up in the inner city. I've traveled, had the privilege to travel all over the world. Never thought it would happen. And had the privilege of seeing God move in the most incredible ways. And today you are here in this house. And God has come to you with a message of mercy to declare to you that he's not done with you yet. And I want to ask you a question. Have you had enough? Have you realized yet that there is nothing out there in the world? Only Christ can give you life. Only Jesus satisfies. God's hand of mercy is extended to you today. And I'm not going to prolong this, but I want to give an invitation for every soul in this place. It may be one. He leaves the 99. That's how important you are. But every soul in this place that would say, Pastor, maybe you're here for the first time and you've never been in a place like this. Maybe someone invited you, or maybe you walked in thinking this was a show. But it's actually a matter of life and death. And maybe you're here for the first time and you may have grown up a Buddhist, a Muslim, a Catholic. Doesn't matter. There's more. And there's something on the inside of you that's saying, this is the truth. This is what I've been looking for all my life. And you would say, Pastor, I'm done. I've had enough. I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. I understand that he loves me. I understand that he died for me. Today I know that he has a plan for my life. And I'm sorry for all the wrong things I've done. I don't want to live in sin anymore, but I want to give my life to Jesus Christ. I want to give him control. I want to invite him to come in. If he will take my messed up life and give me a new one, I'm in. I'm in. How many here would say, Pastor, that's me, unashamedly, all over this house, main floor, those hands going up all over the place, up in the balcony, in the annex as well. If you say, Pastor, that's me, you can put your hand down. I'm going to give an invitation. We're all going to stand in a moment. I want to invite you to come. If you're here and you say, Pastor, I'm backslidden. I've grown cold. I've drifted from the Lord. Maybe you were in the house, but you left. Or maybe you're still in the house, but your heart has drifted far from him. And today you say, Pastor, I'm coming home. I'm done. The hour's late, folks. I want you to raise your hand as well, all over this place. I'm done. I'm done. He sees those hands. Let's stand together quietly and reverently. Quietly and reverently all over this place. God's hand of mercy is extended to you. Those who raised your hand, step out of your seat and come to this altar right now. Don't hesitate. Don't begin to rationalize. Don't let the devil deceive you. Don't let him lie to you. You may have tried this once before and thought to yourself, well, I've responded before, and the devil's telling you, don't respond again. No, today, you're going to change. How's that going to happen? As you simply trust him, God will change you. He will transform you. It's a supernatural change. It's something that he and he alone can do. Even as we worship and sing for a moment, and then we're going to come back and pray. But step out of your seat. In the annex, we'll wait for you as we sing. You know, he is stronger. He broke the power of sin when he died on the cross and rose again so that you and I would have a new life in him. Christianity is not you trying to be a good person, you following a bunch of rules and trying to be like Jesus. Christianity is the Spirit of the living God coming to live on the inside of you and giving you what is called an exchange life. He takes your old life, and that is now gone. And his life comes to live on the inside of you. His spirit comes to live on the inside. And you become a new person, a totally new creature. All the old things pass away. It's a supernatural transformation. And on a daily basis, as you walk with him, you'll become more and more like him. He will change you. This is the greatest decision you will ever make in your entire existence. Coming back to God Almighty who loves you, who died for you. He's going to heal you. Then through you, he's going to bring healing into your family and into your community and into your workplace. How many would say, Pastor, I'm a sinner, but I'm coming home to God. I'm giving everything to Jesus tonight. I'm giving everything to Jesus tonight. I'm giving my life to Jesus Christ. The Bible says, for God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son, that you would not perish or be destroyed in your sin, but that you would have eternal life. Those who raised their hands, I want to lead you in a simple prayer today, acknowledging your need for God and inviting him to come into your life today. Would you raise your hands to him as a sign of surrender? Those who are coming to Jesus Christ for the first time today, would you pray with me? God Almighty, I acknowledge today that I am a sinner and I'm sorry for all the wrong things I've done. I don't want to live in sin anymore. I want to live for you from this moment on. I invite you to come into my life, to be my Savior and my Lord. I thank you today that you died and rose again so that I might know that I could have a new life in you. I want to thank you, God, for loving me so much. I love you, Jesus, and I give everything to you. I believe that you are hearing my cry, that you've heard my prayer, and that my old life is now passed away, and I'm receiving a new life, the Christ life, a supernatural life on the inside. Thank you, God, for forgiving me today. I am now a child of the living God. I belong to Jesus. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, folks, we ought to praise him. We need to rejoice. The angels of God are rejoicing in heaven. Hallelujah. That means the devil's assignment on you is now canceled. Drugs can't hold you when your faith is in Christ. Alcohol can't hold you when your faith is in Christ. Cigarettes can't hold you when your faith is in Christ. Pornography can't hold you when your faith is in Christ. There's no devil, there's no spirit of suicide that can hold you when your faith is in Christ. Hallelujah. Thank him for your freedom today. You are forgiven, you are free. And when Christ sets you free, you are free indeed. Hallelujah.